Happy Sabbath to you. Two baptisms on one Sabbath. You can't get any better than that. As I look out here, I see that we are a little skimpy today, but I hope that my message this morning arouses in your heart indeed an increased desire to follow Christ, especially as we enter into these last days. Let me bring up my PowerPoint here, take just a minute. Okay, today we are going to talk about the second part of these two-part series. It's the Babylon and the USA and Bible prophecy. And last week, and we'll wait for the transmissions to get going here, but last week I talked to you just a little bit, mostly about the first beast of Revelation 13, the one with seven heads and ten horns. And we learned at that time that that was Rome. All right? So we're going to do just a quick review, and then we will go on. Let's see if we can get to... last week we had Babylon and the USA and Bible prophecy. Today we're going to talk mostly about the United States here. We did most of talking about Rome, the church at Rome, etc. last week, but we're going to continue on. Revelation's second beast, if you remember, had seven heads and ten horns. And remember, the first beast of Revelation 13 was also repeated in Revelation 17 also. This beast with seven heads and ten horns. And we also said that this type of beast does not exist in the natural world, so God is trying to send us a message through symbols, and his symbols apply to his message perfectly. Once we get into the different identifiers that identifies this beast and what we saw both in Revelation 13 and 17. And so we saw the same beast along with some identifiers, and God is sending a message to us. So let's see about this message. This is a quick review. And he says, I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast. Now, a woman in Bible prophecy is a church. Bible prophecy, a scarlet beast. A beast is a nation or a tongues, peoples, that sort of thing, an entity. And this was full of names of blasphemy, having said seven heads and ten horns. And so we've talked about that. But Revelation 17 gave us some very important identifiers of exactly who and what this beast was all about. Conclusive identifiers. And so we want to take a look at this for a quick review. Number one, she, talking about this church, is guilty of blasphemy, is dressed in purple and scarlet. She is called the mother. She has harlot daughters who are also fallen. She persecuted and martyred the saints. It's a persecuting power. She sits upon seven mountains. She ruled over the kings of the earth. This is describing an impure woman representing a harlot or an unfaithful church, riding a beast or a country or a church, nation, and was identified as Rome, ruled by the church at Rome, a religio-political power, if you will. I'm all over the place. I can't do my... Let's move that. Move that. Okay. So let's go on. Don't seem to be handling the mouse just real well. I can't get the... Where is it? There it is. Finally. There we go. Okay. I see it. Okay, but there were other identifiers of the Catholic Church. One of them, the harlot, is called the mother of harlots, just as the Roman Catholic Church is known as the Holy Mother Church. The harlot wears purple and scarlet, the colors worn by Catholic bishops and cardinals. The beast's seven heads on which the woman rides are revealed to be seven mountains, just as Rome, built on seven literal hills, is known as the city of the seven hills. And so these are specific identifiers of this particular entity, which we decided was the Roman Catholic Church. Now, I want to reemphasize, like I did last week, that we are not pointing at any individual. God said that he had people in all denominations and in all corners of the earth. So we're not talking about individuals here. We are talking about this entity, this church, and what it represents. So let's go on. Remember, last week, this is just a little bit of review. Now let's talk about the second beast of Revelation 13, the beast coming out of the earth. As you remember last week, I showed you a picture of the original 13 colonies of the United States, and a lot of people asked the question of us, how could this ragtag group of 13 colonies, which consists of some farmers, some merchants, a few politicians, how could they overcome the greatest superpower of the world at that time, which was England? Was God involved in this? And so we want to look at where we were in 1776, this ragtag group of people, but they had an idea that they wanted to enforce. They wanted it to grow. 250 years ago, last week was the 250-year celebration of the independence, July the 4th. So, the second beast of Revelation 13 represents the United States in Bible prophecy and is represented in Revelation 13 as a lamb-like beast coming from the earth. Now let's look at where we are today. It's a very amazing fact. The new Columbia-class submarines are 560 feet long. That's almost two football fields. 43 feet in diameter, making them the largest and most complex submarines ever built. They do not need to be refueled for 40 years. Because they are nuclear powered. Of course, you have to supply the men that run the ship, so to speak, with food, etc. But this is an amazing piece of weaponry. Let's go on. They can deliver 16 nuclear or other missiles to targets 8,000 miles away with pinpoint accuracy. Do you know that our satellites that are rotating around the earth today, that they can come down and actually look at the name tag at our soldiers, their name tag, and actually read the name of who it is. They have that ability. It's quite amazing. Now look at this next slide. You might not be able to read it, but on the very top bar graph there, it is the United States, and then follows Russia, and then China, and the different other countries. But this is an interesting statistic in that the USA spends more on defense and the military more than the next nine countries combined. That's a lot of money. And this year they're asking for not $916 billion, they're asking for $1.5 trillion. I don't know if Congress will decide to give it to them. We shall see. But that is a lot of money for our military. And that was year 2023. So that was 3 years ago. So the USA is definitely the number one superpower of the world today. And it's mentioned in prophecy along with Babylon. Question number six. How does God describe Babylon when urging his people to leave? It says, he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, is fallen. Now that's the second angel's message. And it's important for us to consider this because when God says fallen is fallen twice, he wants you to pay attention when it's mentioned back to back like that. And has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit. Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. Third angel's message. He's calling for his people to come out of Babylon. Come out of those unfaithful and churches that are out there. Now, let me draw a little bit of an analogy. Babylon of old. Nebuchadnezzar carried away a lot of the Hebrews. Once he came down and destroyed Jerusalem, he took a lot of the very holy vessels away from the temple in Jerusalem at the time. And then 70 years later, as Jeremiah had predicted in his book of Jeremiah, that they would be in captivity for 70 years. Now, it was prophesied at that time that once the Persian leader Cyrus came and took down Babylon and released the children, the people of God, the Israelites at that time, so too they were being called out to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild it. Both Ezra and Nehemiah goes back and rebuilds Jerusalem, its walls, and the temple. And some of the people came with him, but there was a group that did not. Some of them said, "How can we leave? We have been here 70 years. We have gotten comfortable. We have learned their language. Our possessions are here. We have married some of the people here in Babylon, so we cannot leave." But there was a remnant who left and went back to Jerusalem to rebuild. And that's what they did. Here in God's last days, he is also trying to call spiritual Babylon. And he'll call his people out of spiritual Babylon that we see today. And so a remnant is still left. And God is coming back to take his remnant home. John 10, of course, once again, talks about that Jesus said, "I have sheep that are not of this sheep pen." And so he acknowledges and reemphasizes the fact that he has people in other denominations also, but will call them out before he comes back once again. And so he's trying to call them out of spiritual Babylon. Question number 7. Jesus accuses Babylon of making the world drunk with her wine. What does this represent? Well, this is very similar. Drunk with the wine of her wrath is talking about the church and the wine that they are providing to the people. Have you ever heard the cliche, so to speak, they're drinking the Kool-Aid? One political party talking about another political party, and when you have somebody that is speaking what this one political party is saying, you say, "Oh, they're just drinking the Kool-Aid." The same thing that's happening here is that there are people that are drinking the wine of Babylon, which is false teaching. That's what this wine represents. God's truth is new wine. It's fresh. It gives life. This wine of Babylon is old, it's fermented, making people drunk. And so this is the image that we want to see when we see that the making the world drunk with her wine. Alcohol confuses the mind. Babylon is confusion. That is the wine of Babylon. Now, the woman talks about here, this is found in Revelation 17. This is found in the Bible. The woman, this church, in her hand, a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornications. And then in 17:2, it also says the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornications. The wine are the message that she is delivering to the people. So we know all about this first beast. Let's take a look at the second beast of Revelation, the beast of Revelation 13, the one that comes from the earth or land, depending upon your translation. And let's look at this beast just a little closer. What power will support the beast in the end time? So the Bible says, I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. And a beast represents a nation, a kingdom, a peoples, that sort of thing. Remember, the first beast comes from the sea, which represents a lot of people, a populated area. Revelation 17 here says waters represents nations and kingdoms. So an earth beast is the opposite. Think of where we were with the 13 colonies at that time. Europe was a very heavily populated area, whereas the United States was not. So we're talking about the United States here. And it tells us that it has, looks like two horns, like a lamb. It's a lamb with two horns. And it speaks like a lamb, but it ends up speaking like a dragon. Now, is a lamb a good thing or a bad thing? It's a good thing, isn't it? So it comes in doing good things, good work, freedom of religion, freedom of speech. Bibles are printed. There's missionary work being done. And today, still, the United States is still the number one contributor and sponsor of missionary work throughout the world. They are still doing that today. Two horns. There's a big difference between the first beast and the second beast, this lamb-like beast with two horns. What does the two horns represent? Well, how does someone speak? It's through their laws. And here you have in this United States a new country, and it is founded upon civil liberty and religious freedom. Civil liberty, religious liberty, the Constitution. And so we see a big difference between that and before when they came from Europe. Europe, they were controlled by either a king or a pope, one or the other. So when did this second beast arrive? I have a couple of things here to show you. God described this second power as rising up about the same time the first beast, which papal Rome, goes into captivity and receives its deadly wound at the end of 1,260 years, which is 1798. That's when the first beast is losing power and goes down. We'll talk about that here in just a second, just a little bit. The United States of America declared its independence in 1776, but it wasn't over, folks. There was still some work to be done. It was independence in 1776, voted in the Constitution in 1787, adopted the Bill of Rights in 1791, and was widely recognized as a world power by 1798. No other country fits this description. It's got to be the United States of America. The world was wanting to know at 1776, is this new nation, is it real? Is it going to stand the test of time? Will it last? And so the other nations of the world was giving it a lot of time before they really made the decision to treat this new country as an independent country, one of its own, a sovereign country. So how did the first beast go into captivity? Well, as you might remember, after the French Revolution, Napoleon had an army, but during the French Revolution, they decided that they would resist the Roman power, and they were tired of Rome telling them what to do. And so they rebelled against Rome, and there was a time when there was a rebellion in Rome, and the Pope's army happened to kill a Frenchman, and Napoleon said, okay, I've had enough. And he sent his general Berthier to Rome to attack Rome, and he captured the Pope and put the Pope in captivity. Happened in 1798. And so at that time, all of Europe thought, that's it for the Roman power. It's gone. It's dead. We'll never see it come back again. But the Bible also tells us that the deadly wound that happened at that time would be healed. And that's what we're seeing today, is we're seeing this deadly wound being healed. Okay, so at first, in the French Revolution, if I can get it right here, the French people were looking at at Rome as not being its controller, that there was no God, that reason was its God. And so that was some of the things that came out of the French Revolution. But afterward, Berthier takes the Pope captive. Let's take a look at these. Where the second beast arose, talking about the United States of America. In a sharp contrast to the waters, which are a heavily populated area from which most kingdoms or beasts arose, the second beast is from the earth, a sparsely populated area. The United States of America fits this point perfectly because its founders left densely populated Europe to settle and establish a free nation on a sparsely populated continent. People landed in the New World. That's what they called it. They called it the New World. It was a vast wilderness. Yes, they fought wars with the indigenous people, which I'm not going to, no excuse there. But the country since then has exploded. We are an international power and today run from coast to coast all the way, protected on both sides by an ocean. The United States of America arose after only 22 years as a nation, established 1776. The USA is now widely recognized as a world power by 1798. The founding fathers left densely populated Europe for a sparsely populated continent, which is North America. So recapping our facts here. We're protected by oceans on both sides. We are an independent nation, coast to coast. Starts out like a lamb. That's good, but it doesn't stay that way. Defining characteristics of the second beast in Revelation 13. It was established about the time that the Pope went into captivity in 1798. It was established out of the earth, which was a sparsely populated area. Its horns looked like a lamb. According to prophecy, how does America transform and mutate over time? Well, it describes he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. We know that sometimes the lamb is represented of Jesus Christ. And it begins that way, a lot of Christian principles when it was founded, but it speaks like a dragon. A dragon in prophecy is Satan. Our country is going to end up modeling itself after the first beast, meaning it transforms itself into a religious, political, persecuting power, having global influence. That's what the prophecy says. Think about our country today. Do we have international influence? We certainly do. Where's the United States located? Here in the United States. Does any country really mess with us? Not really. There's some small skirmishes out there, but there's no country that really wants to challenge us. Now, some have likened the United States in Bible prophecy as a bison, two horns like a lamb, but one of the strongest and mightiest beasts alive. Anybody happen to see on TV a bison throw up, as an elderly man threw him up about 8 feet in the air as he attacked him? It's a very strong beast. Now, church, I don't know what triggers our country to be a country to be like the first beast. And I love my country. I love the freedoms that I have enjoyed. Amen. I don't want to go anywhere else. Amen. But my country is going to change. And I don't know what triggers it, whether it's a war, some kind of economic catastrophe or economic collapse, some kind of chaos, or all of them going on at the same time. But there will become a need by our country to take back our domestic tranquility, to bring back peace. But remember this, when this is worldwide and it's happening to the whole world, whether it's hunger, wars, chaos, earthquakes, pestilence, you can go down through the list, friends. But whether it's all of this at one time, the world will be looking for a hero. They'll be looking for someone to take over and put us back to where we were. Peace. At least some kind of peace. When the world is looking for a hero to solve our world's problems, then Satan will come as an angel of light. And here I am. I'm the hero. And he will deceive many at that time, because he knows just exactly when to come into our presence. He knows what buttons to push. He has had 6,000 years of watching us, knowing where we fall. Satan will come as an angel of light, and the world will think the Savior has arrived and be deceived, unless they are reading their Bible. Speaking as a dragon means that the United States, under the influence of Satan, will abandon its original principles of freedom by passing laws that force people to worship contrary to conscience. Violators will face economic sanctions and then ultimately death. I don't know if you remember, but in Daniel 3, the three Hebrews that decided they were not going to bow down to that image. And so because they decided to go against the state, they were thrown in the fiery furnace. Well, because they wouldn't bow down, Satan was targeting commandment number 2, thou shalt not bow down to them and serve them. And then a few chapters later in Daniel chapter 6, some of the princes around Daniel who were jealous of Daniel decided they would go to the king and have the king write a proclamation that only he would be prayed to and worshiped for the next 30 days. Daniel wasn't going to do that. He freely opened his window and prayed towards Jerusalem. He wasn't going to change his conscience and his religion just because the king made a decree. He goes against the state. The state throws him into the lion's den. You know the story, that he made it out, but that is attacking commandment number 1. Thou shalt have no gods, no other gods before me. The same thing will happen in the end time, folks. Which commandment will Satan target then? Only this time, it's a different commandment. Commandment number 4, keeping the Sabbath. Keeping the false Sabbath is what the state will promote and will declare, which is Sunday. And if you don't keep it, you will be killed, ultimately. How does the USA support the first Antichrist beast of Revelation 13? He causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And so here you have, well, let me go back one. Something I was missing here. Here you have a joint session of Congress, and you have the Pope that has just addressed the joint session. I don't know of any other head of denominations that have had that opportunity. I'm sure there are some evangelists in our denomination that would love to speak to Congress, maybe give them a Bible study, But here you see only the Pope has been invited. Here you see the Vatican flag. Well, let me read. The United States of America will reverse its founding Protestant principles, the separation of church and state, and from an image to the beast, a government mirroring the religio-political structure of the Vatican. Sadly, America will abandon its Protestantism. And what you have here is a flag of the Vatican and a flag of the United States side by side. Do you know that when the Washington Monument was built, and it began in 1848 on July the 4th, by the way, that the Pope sent a marble block to be used in its construction? And the people that was constructing the Washington Monument threw that block in the river. They weren't going to use it because we were a Protestant nation and they didn't want to have anything to do with the Pope. That really happened. They didn't want anything to do with the Pope. Look at this. Very interesting. The Bible says the second beast makes an image to the beast. And so here you have this similarity, the capital and the Vatican. Looks similar, doesn't it? What else do we have? In front of the Vatican, an obelisk. Look what we have in front of the U.S. Capitol. When America was founded, only Protestants were on the Supreme Court. Today, I think we have one Episcopal, about as close to Catholicism as you can get, and one Jewish justice. It says that America will follow in the steps in compelling religious laws. Now, God has sent us a love letter here in the book of Revelation to describe to us what is going to happen in the last days. It's a warning. This country will change. It's going to go from a lamb-like beast to a dragon. Country's going to change. Remember Amos 3:7. It says, "Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. Before he brought a flood upon the earth, didn't Noah warn everybody for 120 years? Didn't before Jerusalem was going to be overtaken and fall, didn't he tell his people, when you see the abominations of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, get out of the city? So Christ is warning us of what is going to soon to take place. And that is what he is doing in the book of Revelation here. He also said, in John chapter 14, verse 29, "I tell you these things so that when it happens, you will believe." And so we see in the prophecies all the things that he has said that will come to pass, and they come to pass. And so he's telling us these things so that we will take it to heart and understand what is before us. Well, these times of trouble are coming. They're just around the corner. We are at peace right now. For a short time. But this time of trouble is coming. Troublesome times ahead. God's warning letter to us. Revelation. War, economic disaster, natural disaster. All of them at the same time. I don't know. But the signs of the times are being set in place. And where do people turn out of fear? They sometimes turn to the establishment. Question number 11, what three powers will unite against God's people in the end time? And it says, "I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon." Who's the dragon? Satan. "Out of the mouth of the beast." Who is the beast? Rome. "Out of the mouth of the false prophet." Who is the false prophet? United States. This is the false trinity, people. There will be some kind of catastrophe that will trigger a world search for God out of fear. What happened the following weekend after 9/11? Everybody was in the churches or the synagogues. You know, there are 2.2 billion Christians in the world, 1.7 Muslims, 16 million Jews, and the rest are making up primarily by Buddhists and Hindus. But all of these people are really looking for a Messiah of some kind. Satan comes as an angel of light, my friend. Let's remember that. What effective methods will this end-time coalition utilize? They are spirits of demons performing signs. Beloved, spiritualism plays a significant part in deception of the last days. If you believe that the dead can speak to you, you're in Babylon, folks. And you're in Babylon and you will be deceived because you do not know and understand. They are spirits of demons and they are not going to tell you the truth. They may mix a little truth with error, but be warned, they're not going to tell you the truth. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do. You remember that Elijah prayed on the Mount Carmel. Fire came down from heaven and consumed his offering. The priests of Baal, their offering was not consumed. Satan brings fire down from heaven. People are going to immediately think, well, this is God if he can do that. But remember, Satan can bring fire down from heaven. He did that in the book of Job. It will look real. It will seem real. But if you don't know your Bible, you're a sitting duck for Satan. You have to go by what the Bible says. And church, you know, I tell you these things because I have a heart for you. I want to see each one of you in heaven. I want you to be there. And so I want to give you this love warning before all this time of trouble begins. I want to see you in heaven. What will prevent God's end time people from being deceived? Isaiah has the answer. To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. The law and the testimony, that's the commandments and the prophets, or the testimony of Jesus, the Old and New Testaments, the scripture, that is what it's talking about. You have to know your Bible. Share with you a little tidbit. In 1 John chapter 4 and verses 2 and 3, it's not on the screen, but just this little Bible nugget. It says in that particular scripture that anyone who does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. So that is a question that you can ask that entity or whatever you're up against. Do you believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? And if they say no, they're not of God. There's going to be a religious coalition in the last days of the beast and his forces. If you do not worship the beast, first you can't buy and sell, and then the last thing is there'll be a proclamation that you have to be killed. Be a death decree. But before that, God's people will be called out of Babylon. Before that happens. And Ellen White said in her last GC meeting, the very last one that she had, she held up a Bible in her hands and she said, I give you this book. It was the Bible. I give you this book. This is a very important book. Folks, people calls us, all of us, if I can get down to my last part here. I went all the way back to the beginning. Interesting. The The law and the testimony, which I ended up with, that's the commandments and the prophets are the testimony of Jesus. And we talked about 1 John 4, 2, and 3, a little Bible nugget that you can ask if confronted. If you do not worship the beast, your first will be can't buy or sell, and then will be ordered to be killed. But before God will come, his people, he will call his people out of Babylon. God calls all of us not to be deceived through his book, the Bible. That is your safeguard. Folks, let's pick up the Bible. Let's make sure that we understand it. Let's study it. Let's know it. Let's be ready to give an answer to every man who asks us a question or who tries to deceive us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that my message today has brought back some understanding and some understanding that we need to get into our Bibles to learn exactly what it says, because it gives us the lessons that we need to know to confront the evil one. It gives us the plan that you have for each one of us in this country, this nation. And these things are to shortly come to pass. And so I just pray for each and every one of us, get into our Bibles to know and understand those things which are about to come upon us. Father, may the Holy Spirit be with us, be with each and every one of us to help us, give us understanding. And so, Father, I raise up this prayer in the name of the only one who can save us, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.